Morning, everybody. Good to see you out and about. How's your morning? Well, I'm glad to hear it. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 100 this morning. Psalm 100. Give you a couple of thoughts, something to think about. More by way of reminder than anything else, but yeah, we'll do that this morning. Oh my. Bouncing them babies all over the place. I love to see that. I sure do. Psalm 100. Everybody good? All right. We're going to read the whole psalm. Verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." In that section of the Psalms here that talk about going up in worship, and the idea that I got in this is, as I read that this week, is that there's some things that we ought to bring to church. And this kind of mentions several things that we ought to bring to church. So I wanted to bring that before us today. People do bring all kinds of things to church, not necessarily what it's talking about here. But people do bring all kinds of things to church. I spent Saturday morning here in the auditorium again, squaring everything away and getting everything spaced back out and making sure that everything was ready for today. And I started just to give a list of everything that I found in here, because it's been a little while since I squared everything away in here, but I'm going to tell you what, it was amazing. I'm always amazed at what I find under and in and around the seats in this building. The list of trash is long. I got to thinking as I was wrapping up Saturday morning, is this a movie theater or is this an auditorium? Because it was hard to tell the difference with everything that came out of here, including popcorn. I think about what it takes sometimes, I guess, to bribe youngsters anymore. It must take a lot to bribe our youngsters to be quiet. Snacks and toys. Found toys. Found snacks. If it takes all of that to bribe them into being quiet now, what's it going to take when they get older? That's what I wonder. What's it going to take when they get older? You know, there's something to be said for a woodshed. Not near as expensive as some of the stuff I found. And about twice as effective. Because if you got a spirit of lawlessness now when you're young in the church, what's your spirit going to be like when you get out of the church? See, that's what discipline's all about. The discipline says, you got to live by the law, son. That there are consequences to bad actions. And now it's just a little blistering on the backside. But man, when you get a little older, it turns into something else. And then kids get this look on their face like, how did this happen to me? Maybe it's because nobody never told you no. When you were young enough to be told no and make it stick. I might be off track this morning. From where I wanted to go to what was the kind of things that ought to be in the church. And I get distracted by the things that are in there, that ought not to be in there, before I get to what ought to be here. There's a whole lot of things that shouldn't be in the church. And so rather than bringing toenail clippers, maybe we ought to bring a Bible. That's something that ought to be in the church, eh? Maybe we ought to bring a Bible rather than our clippers. Maybe we ought to bring a Bible rather than to bring our checkbook. See, giving something that you think out ahead of time anyway. That's something that you talk to the Lord about ahead of time anyway. That's not a spur of the moment thing. That's something that you and the Lord have come to grips with, and your giving is a matter of response to prayer. So there's some things that ought not to be here and some things that should. Bible's a good thing. Listen to me. I know a bunch of you around here like to carry your little devices and look at your Bible on your device and stuff, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't tell whether you're playing pool or you're playing Bible when you whip out that little electronic device. And you know what? Your neighbor can't either. And I'm going to tell you what, this morning in here, this morning, now some of you are visiting with us and guests with us this morning. We're glad that you're here. We are glad that you're here. And give them the benefit of the doubt. If you see somebody looking into a screen, give them the benefit of the doubt and believe that they're looking at a Bible online. Amen? All right? And that they're not playing around and looking at their Facebook page. Give them the benefit of the doubt. And maybe over time I can get them talked out of leaving that thing at the house and bringing a Bible with them. All right? See, there's something about appearances, and there's something about the way things look. And there's a smell test that goes along with stuff, too. You know, some people don't think much about any things like that, but you know what? Others do. And so we already got the reputation of being a bunch of hypocrites, amen? Huh? We got the reputation of being a bunch of hypocrites anyway, and so then they come in here and they look at things and they've already made an opinion about whether we're a hypocrite or not, and then all that does is feed right into the narrative. And so I'd encourage you to think about what you're bringing to church. Think about what you're bringing to church. Okay? And think about what that looks like to somebody that don't know anything about church. Think about what that looks like. Why on earth should I have to go and invest in a sign or two to put in the back of the auditorium to say, please, no food or drink? Why should I have to invest in something there that ought to be common sense? Huh? Why should we have to take money of God's people that have given to things here? Why should we have to give that here? And then me have to spend that money on something that is as so elementary as that issue there? I don't think that's a good expenditure of our money, do you? But you know what? We may have to do that if I have to clean this place up again on a Saturday because I was disgusted with what I found. And that ought not to be so in a worship service, huh? Now, I understand this room gets used for other things, too. And I might be falsely accusing all of you this morning. Huh? And that's not my intention, but my intention is to draw your attention to things that ought not to be here, as well as some things that ought to be here. So now I'm moved away from that. You feeling sufficiently chastised this morning? We'll move from that and see if I can encourage you with some things that ought to be here. Okay? We'll move from that and segue over into the next piece of this right here. Psalm 100 here is a millennial psalm. This is talking about what worship is supposed to look like. What worship is supposed to look like when Jesus reigns on this earth. It's also a psalm of ascent. Talks about, it has a historical narrative and it has a future narrative as well. Okay? And so we're told to gather. And we're told that we're to exhort one another as we wait for the anticipation of the day that Jesus sets up His kingdom. That's talked about even in Hebrews chapter 10. The 24th verse there tells us that we're to get together. And as we get together, we're to exhort one another and encourage one another, even in evil days, even in rough times, so that we have an anticipation of the time when Jesus comes and sets up His kingdom. And that's to be a glad day and something to look forward to with some great anticipation in all of that. And if we're told how worship will be then, would it be okay if we just went ahead and got used to doing it now? Well, I think that'd probably be a good thing to do. If this is the way worship is going to be done then, why shouldn't we just get to practicing it now while we're looking for what's to come at that time. So this psalm basically tells us what we should bring to church in order to have the right kind of attitude. Let me say something here about that as well. Church is not something that you work up at church. Your relationship with God is not something you work up while you're at church, okay? In order to get the full treatment, in order to get the full effect of what takes place in this room when we come together to worship, what needs to happen is that we come prepared for what's going to happen in the room, okay? You see, if you come in here empty and hope to get filled to go out to be full, you're going to be sadly disappointed because there's nothing to hang that fullness on. There's nothing to attach that fullness to. You need to come prepared for what the Lord has for you so that you can hear and listen while you're here and so that changes can be made in your life while you're here that would be a lasting change to go out. Because listen, you come in here and get emotional, and you come in here and get worked up emotionally and then go out there and try to live it, there's nothing to hang it on. There's nothing to pin it back to. When you come in here solid, you come in here prayed up, you come in here with your relationship well and in good stead with the Lord here, and He makes a move in your life here, friend, it'll last. It'll have something that'll that will be able to work. There'll be something you'll be able to work out this week, you see. It's one of the reasons we do things like curriculum with our Sunday school, so that you study before you get to Sunday school. You see, you study before you get to Sunday school so that when you get there, God has something that He can move and work in your life. He has some ammunition. He has something that He can work with. If you come in there and you get all worked up at the moment, then it's just a spiritual hiccup. And so what we try to do is we try to get people studied up so they come in so that they're prepared to hear the voice of the living God. All right? And so worship, being prepared and coming in prepared is a precursor to seeing a move of God take place. How many of you want to see God move in your life? But you're not willing to do the work. We got people that want to see God move in their life, God do some things, but we're not willing to do the work. And the work is the relationship that we're to have with Him. Huh? And I tell you what, when you have that relationship and you had your quiet time and you got prayed up and you're confessed up and you're ready to rock when you come in here this morning, you can't hardly wait. You can't hardly wait to get to church. But if you do it the other way around, you can't hardly wait to leave. Huh? I wish He'd shut up. I wish He'd leave me alone. Maybe He'd go away or whatever else. But see, when you come in ready, that means that you're willing to surrender, that you're willing to go the direction that the Lord wants you to go in. So you've got to bring some things with you. If you want to get what God has for you on a Sunday morning, you want to get what God has for you on a Wednesday night, you've got to come in here ready to do business with God. You know what we ought to have is an altar call before we ever say a word. Ought to have an altar call before we ever say a word and everybody file down to the altar and say, you know what? Here's the things that I've slipped up on. Here's the things that I've messed up with. There's some people that I need to talk to you about, Lord, and get right with God before we ever hear anything from God's word. That ought to be the normal process. And then we ought to have another one at the end. And the one at the end ought to be the one that says, whoa, man, got me. I didn't see like that. I wouldn't see in the same way you were seeing, Lord. But now I see how you see that, and I want to go your way with it this week. And then you come out of this place ready to put into effect, put into action what God has put in your soul, put in your heart, put in your mind, put through your being during the time that we have together. Amen or oh my? And so that's the process that we ought to be looking at as we gather up. What everybody ought to bring to church. One of the things that we ought to bring here, look what it says in verse number 1. It says that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The word make there is, in its context, is talking about making music. That's the make that is being used right here. That we ought to make music. It's not talking about joyful noise yet. It says make, and the idea of make is to make music, singing, psalms, etc., like that. Then there's that word joyful. That word means to give a public confession. Give a public confession of the works of God. Give a public confession of the attributes of God. So we're to make music, and we're to make it joyful. That means to publicly confess. Thirdly, there's the word noise. That means to raise a shout. It refers to like a ringing cry. A cry that pierces is what this cry is talking about. So that tells us all of a sudden what we ought to be bringing. How are you going to bring that if you ain't got that with you when you come? Huh? How are you going to bring that if you don't have it? How are you going to have that take place if you don't bring it with you? Huh? That's what we're talking about with this relationship. When you're right with God and you understand who He is and you understand who you are in relation to that, oh my soul, it ought to do something to you. It ought to do something to you. You ought to make some music with that. It ought to get you pointing towards the wonderful attributes and the character of God, seeing how weak and pitiful we are and how great big He is. That ought to just cause everything to come out of you. And it ought to pour forth out of us when we see that. Man, if you're not in a condition where you can see that He must increase and I must decrease, that I am nothing, I'm a worm, and He's everything. And friend, when you get that in perspective right there and you come in to worship Him, I think it'll leak out of you a little bit. Huh? That's what this is saying. It ought to leak out of you a little bit. It ought to crack out of here a little. It ought to seep out into the atmosphere around you. Seep out into the environment where you find yourself. And it ought to do it to such a degree that sometimes it ought to pierce an eardrum as you make a noise. And so when you put all these things together, we see that this psalmist is calling the people of the Lord to raise an anthem of praise. And to raise that anthem of praise from their hearts unto the Lord. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to participate. Participate in public praise. To participate in putting things out there. Letting it leak out in this environment that we find ourselves in. Go back to Psalm 40 for just a minute. Here's a precursor to that right there. Psalm 40 verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen to what it says. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. Now, the Lord's listening this morning. Would you believe that? Would you believe that with me this morning, that He is listening this morning? He has got His ear pitched your direction. He's listening for you. What He's listening for is He's listening for you to cry out. Man, that cry can take a whole lot of different forms. That cry can be help. That cry can be help. Or that cry could be help, because what we need is help. Huh? Ain't nothing else we need but help, because we can't do it. I don't care what it is, we can't do it. It's not in us to do it. You need to be saved? Help! Huh? I got a fire going on in my life. What do you need? Help! I want to praise You like You need to be praised, Lord. Help! Because I can't even praise You like you ought to be praised. I can't give You glory like You ought to have glory. I need help for all of these things. And so He's got His ear pitched and inclined in your direction this morning. And He's ready to give help if you'll cry out to Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, He says. That call right there, that's a cry. It's a heart cry coming from the heart that says, I know I'm not one of Yours, but I want to be. I know I can't save myself, but I need to be. And to cry out to the One that can affect these changes. Cry out to the One that can save your soul. And so He's got His ear pitched in your direction this morning. He is not deaf to what's going on in your life. Plus, the fact of that is, He knows what's going on in you anyway. Yet He's still sitting there waiting on you to understand what's going on in you. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. And establish my goings. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've been saved this morning, you've come up out of the miry clay. If you've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you've surrendered your heart and life to Him, you've come up out of the miry clay, the quicksand of life that's dragging you down to an inevitable end Because everything from the moment you're born to the time you expire is headed toward your death. You are born to die. Born to die. And that miry clay is quicksand in this life. And the quicksand of this life is me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Oh me, oh my. What do I want and how do I want it? And the quicksand just keeps pulling you down further and further away from a holy and righteous God until one day you cry out. And you cry out and say, oh, there's no bottom in this thing. I thought I could handle it. I thought I could do it on my own. But there's no bottom in this thing. And I just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And the more you struggle, the deeper you get. And the more you thrash, the worse it gets. And down, down, down until one day you cry out and say, you're it. You're my hope and my stay. You're the only way. And I need you today more than I need to breathe one more breath. And when you do that, the Lord says He picks you up out of the miry clay and He sets you upon the rock. And the rock that He's talking about is the rock of ages. The rock of ages, which is Christ, the rock of your salvation. And sets you up on that rock and establishes your goings. In other words, He makes a way for you to travel on the top of things. He makes a way where you have a foundation that you can't go no lower than. Amen? I'm glad I can't get no lower than my salvation. My salvation is the bedrock of my life. My salvation is the rock that I'm settled on. Boy, I might get real low on that rock. I get pasted to that rock sometime. Get down on my face where I feel like I'm an inch tall on the rock sometime, but I can't get no lower than the rock. Because the rock is solid. And the rock is unmovable. And the rock is there. It's the rock of ages. And so, that's what he says. He said, he put his feet on the rock and established his goings. He hath put a, here it is, here's where I was headed all along. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. That's the part I'm really having trouble with. And many shall see it. Many shall see it, it says. Have you ever noticed that we have not only a privilege but a responsibility? A privilege and a responsibility when we get together in corporate worship. I look around sometimes and I wonder why. Wonder why we're not more engaged. I wonder why we don't have that new song, that new life that we say that we have. I wonder if everybody's on that foundation, on that rock. Because it looks like some are scrambling on it. Looks like some are slipping from the rock. And looks like some are even upset that they got saved. Huh? That's what it appears sometimes. Looks like some folks is kind of upset that they got saved. And I don't get that. And you know what? Those that come in that don't have it, they don't get it either. There ought to be a new song in our mouth. There ought to be no question about who we belong to. And especially here. Now, you might go out there and be a secret agent, but in here you ought not to be no secret agent. Huh? You ought not be, you might be ashamed out there if you stand up at the Spurs game and say, I love Jesus. You might be ashamed over there. They might shame you and shout you down. But in here, I guarantee you, there won't be one soul in here, or not here very long, that'll shout you down for saying, I love Jesus in this place. Boy, if there's a safe place to holler, I love the Lord, it ought to be right here. Amen. Huh? And so I wonder what's taking place. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it, and fear. Man, that brings fear into the life. And fear is the beginning, fear is the beginning point of salvation. Huh? It's a beginning point. And shall trust in the Lord, it says there. Psalm 40 tells us what the Lord did for us when He saved us. That He put a new song in our mouth. I wasn't singing the jingles of the world anymore. I'm singing about what this great and wonderful God has done for me. Singing about where I came from and where I'm going. And not the things that this world is notorious for wanting to put the song in our heart about. So some of the things that we ought to bring into the church is we ought to bring the right spirit. We ought to bring the right spirit in here when we come. Huh? Don't come in here to get it. Bring it with you. Bring the right spirit when you come into the house of the Lord. A second thing that you ought to bring with you is you ought to bring a serving spirit with you. Not only that right spirit, but that spirit that you bring with you ought to be a serving spirit. Serve the Lord with gladness, it says. Bring a serving spirit when you come into the house of worship. To serve means to be in bondage to. Doing whatever the master tells a slave to do. Having that same spirit when you come in here. Being in bondage to him and doing whatever it is that the master wants you to do. Boy, that's a good thing to do. Amen? And so this is the spirit that you ought to come in with. The idea that says, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know what it is that you really want from me today. But whatever it is, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to go your way. I'm willing to try it your way. I've been trying it my way. Let me try it your way. So I bring that spirit, that serving spirit with me when I come. I don't come in here with a big, America's Got Talent thing. I don't come in here with a big X so that when I push the button, the big X in my life comes up and I'm not doing that. No, I follow. Not that one. You come with a serving spirit. An openness and a willingness to go God's direction, a willingness to do it His way. You don't come in here with a negative outlook. You don't come in here with a right to decide what I'm going to do. You don't have that right. You're a servant. You're a servant. Or are you? Is He your master or is He not? Well, that's a kind of a telltale thing. Slaves to be at the beck and call of his master. And when we became saved, we became the Lord's property. We're bought with a price, bought and paid for. And so He has the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. And yet, we think that we're in charge of everything. He goes on to say that we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, there's a nuanced extra to it. Not only am I to go His direction, do it His way, but I'm to do it with gladness. Not under compunction or reluctantly. Gone, I'm gonna have to go do that. I'm giving today. I'm gonna give. Leave me alone. Do it with gladness, he says. Serve with gladness. Be willing to do it his way, and be willing to do it with mirth, is what gladness is talking about. Mirth, gladness, gaiety, accompanied with laughter. Remember a while back when they had the Toronto thing going on? Where the bunch of charismatics up there in Toronto got to having this gladness thing go on in their services where they just laughed all the time? Well, there's something to be said for that. Maybe not in the way that this was gone about, but we are to serve with gladness. And so their services were long and filled with laughter. And somebody would get up and preach and they'd laugh them down. All right? And so, but there is something to be said because the Lord says that we are to serve with mirth, that we are to serve with gladness, with a light and carefree heart. And not about what we're missing or what we're giving up, but what we're getting and who we got in the transaction, and who we got in the whole scheme of things with all of that. And so gladness talks about being wide-eyed with a big grin. I'm going to tell you what, I guess he's in here today. Is Ian in here? There he is right there. Now that guy right there, I'm going to tell you what, he's always a friendly kid in all of that, and always been friendly to me. But after he got saved here the other day, I'm going to tell you what, that kid right there, every time he comes down the hall, he's got a grin on him from ear to ear. And hey, howdy, and how you doing? And wants to come up and give a big old hug and one thing. He's always been a friendly kid. I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you what, something changed when he got saved. Something changed in him when he got saved. It's different with him now. Got that big grin. He is glad of what took place in his life. You glad you saved today, son? Amen. See that smile he got on his face right now? It hadn't come off his face in over a week and all of that. And it's good with that. So there's a serving spirit that ought to be in the church. You ought to bring a serving spirit with you when you come. The second part of that says that come before His presence with singing. Now we finally get to the singing part. We're told that we ought to bring a singing spirit with us. That we ought to have a singing spirit. A singing spirit is a telltale sign of what's taking place in the heart. And so when you open your mouth to sing, it turns loose what's in your heart. It turns loose what's down in there to get out. Man, I'm going to tell you what, it ought to come up over those vocal cords occasionally and trip across those vocal cords to make some kind of sound occasionally if you're saved. Amen? And so that's what it's talking about right there. These first two verses tell us that when God's in your life, you're not going to be able to hide Him. You can't hide Him when He's in your life. It's going to show. It's going to come out. It's going to be obvious. It's going to be evident to those that are around you. You're not going to be able to keep Him secret for very long. And this is what's being affirmed in the first two verses that we have. Then verse 3, it says that we're to bring the right kind of submission to the Lord. Know ye that the Lord, He's God. Got to start with that. There's an order. He's God and we're not. Amen? And so, if He's God and we're not, who has to do the submitting? I would submit to you that it should be us that submit to Him, not Him submitting to me. How many times do we see us trying to get Him to submit to us? Huh? When we come up to the throne and say, move over, big boy. Move over. You're in my seat. And we scooch Him to the left, two notches, and we try to take His seat because, after all, it's all about me. It's all about us. Friend, we need to bring the right kind of submission when we come to church. We are told to know that the Lord is God. That word means that we're to make a distinction. Make a distinction between who's God and who are not. And we know that He and He alone is God. Do you have that nailed down this morning? I mean, honestly, do you have that nailed down this morning? Do you know that there's a God? And if you know that there's a God, do you know who's supposed to be in charge of everything in your life? Huh? It ain't you. You ought to nail that down if you haven't nailed that down yet today. You say, boy, that's since elementary. What are you doing? You're trying to insult my intelligence. There's a lot of intelligence that needs to be insulted. Huh? A lot of intelligence that needs to be insulted because we think we're sharp. And we ain't nothing but dumb as a box of rocks when it comes right down to it. We need to get things straight. He's God. We are not God. So, if you ever get that nailed down into your soul, that He's God and that He's superior to everybody, every person, even yourself, and every activity, then you'll have no problem serving Him like He's supposed to be served. Reason some people have trouble tithing, reason some people have trouble getting to church, or just plain serving God as they ought to, is that they have a different God than the God of the Bible. Worshiping something different than the God of the Bible. That's why we get those things wrong. That's why we get it messed up. So get that straight today. Who is your God today? Who is your God? We need to be submitting to the purpose of God. We're reminded here that we are what we are because He has made us. We are what we are because He has made us. And that means, literally, that He took something and fashioned something out of it. We are something that He fashioned. We are something that He has created, that He has made. God took mud, clay, and He formed a new creature out of it by His own power. And regardless of what we are this morning, we are what we are by the power of Almighty God. And so we need to get that straight. Submit to the very purposes of God. We need to realize this morning that God saves for a purpose too. He doesn't save just to be saving. He saves so that He can use what He saved. He wants to use you. He wants to use you as a vessel, consecrated, set apart. And that's the only way that you can feel the hand of God is to be consecrated, to be set apart. He's not going to use something vile. He's not going to use something evil. He'll only use what is set apart for His glory and for His honor. Goes on to talk about that He's made us, we're not not we ourselves, that we are His people and that we are the sheep of His pasture. And all of this reminds me that of what it is that we just belong to Him. This shepherd business is a very powerful picture if you'll let it be in your life. The shepherding of the Lord and what that entails and what it looks like and how He looks after the welfare of His own and all of that. I'm reminded of the 23rd Psalm when we get to this place and in this particular verse here that we're the sheep of His pasture and that it's He that has made us. It's not us that has made ourselves. And that we're to serve Him because of this. And so that segues me over to the 23rd Psalm. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to go far in that psalm to figure out what everything's about there. The Lord is my shepherd. Thee. What does that mean? What is it? One. Thee. One and only. There's none beside Him. There's none above Him. There is none else but Him. He is the one and only. The Lord. The Lord. What does Lord mean? Boss. Master. King. Huh? He's the one that people answer to. Not the one that answers to you. He is the one and only, the one and only King, the one and only Master, the one and only Boss. Huh? Some folks operate as though He's the boss. Some folks don't operate as though He's the boss. But whether you do or whether you don't, He's still the boss. Whether you do operate or whether you don't, He's still the King. Whether you do or don't, He's still the Lord. And friend, there's going to come a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning. And I would suggest that we get it in order and get it right now rather than wait to some day where every knee will bow, you see. There's coming a day where every knee will bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, He is Lord. But do you recognize that? Do you submit to that? See, that's part of the submission that we have when we come to the house of God. Before we walk onto the premises, before we walk through the door, we walk through this door knowing that we are coming, subject to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we come in with any other attitude, we come in with that, then we are not teachable. We are not teachable. We're not malleable, and we're not usable. The Lord is, next word is. What does that mean? The Lord is. It means right now. Right now. There's never a time when He wasn't. There's never going to be a time when He isn't. And there'll never be a time when He will not be. He is the Lord in all ages. He is the Lord in all ages, past, present, and future. There will never be a time when He's not the Lord. The Lord is. Now it gets personal. My. This is where things change. This is where we find out whether you're in or whether you're out. Whether you're on or off with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. My. Having Him as your Lord means giving up being Lord of your life. Huh? Surrendering your life to the life of the one that can preserve your life. To the one that can save your life. To the one who made life. Sustains life. Grows life. My. The Lord is my. He's my Lord. Is He your Lord today? Huh? When you want Him to be. When you want Him to be. When you want to get out of hell, He's my Lord. Huh? Boy, I want out of hell, He's my Lord real quick. But when it comes down to, am I going to am I going to be about this, his business? Sometimes he is and sometimes he ain't. Huh? The Lord is my shepherd. Having him as your shepherd has to come at the expense of understanding that you're lost. The expense of understanding that you're blind. The expense of understanding that you cannot see. And that there's a better way. That you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin is death. But that Jesus Christ paid the way for you to have a relationship with Him. And when you come to the end of yourself, you'll come to the beginning of Him. And when you come to the beginning of Him and you surrender life to Him, He picks up that life. He takes up that life. And He makes that life something usable in His kingdom. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm gonna do a little bit of an illustration here for just a minute if I can. Abby, come help me. Thank you for volunteering, honey. I appreciate you volunteering so much. Just a great volunteer. If you get my goodies right over there for just a second, I'll see if I can find somebody to help you out. I need a good, strong dude. Real strong dude to help her out with this. Zach, come help me. You knew it was coming, didn't you? Here's a good, strong dude right here. Let me have that. I'll give him the ugly one. No, it's going to be good.
We're doing good.
Can you see?
No.
Oh, we're going to gird it up a little bit.
Really?
Got your eyes closed? Say. Good. That's good. This is probably not going to be comfortable. Let me get right here for just a second. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Sir.
Good. Can you see?
No, sir.
Lazarus? Good. Now come here. You're good. Step up. There you go. Step up right there. There you go. Come right here. You're getting real close. Whoa. Step up there.
Oh.
That's good. You can't see. That's good. Okay. Now don't move very much. You'll fall off and get hurt. Now what I want to do is I want to talk to you for just a minute here, and we're going to talk about this shepherding idea. Okay. What we've been talking about, the Lord is my shepherd. And what we say is when you're born to die. And the problem is that sin came into the world, and every man that comes into the world is a sinful creature. And until they surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin has them blinded. That sin has them blinded from any and everything that is out there. And so they go through life thinking that they're doing great, doing their own thing, doing their own way, but they really have no direction, really have no direction in that life, okay? So they're blind in that. The Lord is my shepherd. But what happens is, whenever you get saved, things change because you have a new direction and you have some new leader that is in your life. You see, now, as it stands without a shepherd, what happens is that you follow somebody else through life. People attach themselves to somebody. Everybody attaches themselves to somebody. Somebody's teaching, somebody's philosophy, somebody's something. You're going to attach yourself to somebody. But what I want to get across to you today is I want you to think about what you're attaching your life to. I want you to think this morning about what you're attaching your life to and what it's likened unto. Okay? For example, these two right here. They're doing really good. Y'all all right? Well, good. What?
We're doing good.
See, when you're blind, there can be a lot of fear that takes place in your life because you don't have a direction. You don't know what's going to take place next, right? You don't have any idea what's going to take place. And so you're just kind of at the mercy of circumstances. You're at the mercy of the things that are running around, and you're blind. and you get bothered by things. Here's what I want y'all to do, okay? Y'all know where the where that communion table is in the back?
Yes.
It's back there by the sound booth.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Well, she knows? Well, that's good. I want you to lead her to it.
Okay.
Zach, I want you to lead her to that table. And I'm going to give y'all 30 seconds to get there. Ready?
What table again?
To the communion table.
In the back,
sir? Yeah, it's in the back. Lead her to it. Lead her to it. Lead her to it. All right, stop where you're at. Going through this life's hard. Going through this life is really hard when you don't know exactly where you're going or how you're supposed to get there. It gets double and triply hard when you're following somebody that's in the same boat you're in. When the blind are leading the blind. Huh? When the blind lead the blind, then you got a big problem with things that are going on. And see, that's what this world is about right now. There's so many people that are blind and got people following them, and they're trying to lead other people that are blind. You don't know where you're going, don't have any idea what's going on in your life, and yet you're going from trouble to trouble, from obstacle to obstacle, trying to get trying to make a way to get somewhere that you don't even know where you're going. And then when you get to a certain place in there where you think you knew where you were headed, and you get there and everything's changed. Blind leading the blind. Now look here. When you get to that point in your life, it's supposed to do something for you. When you recognize that you're stumbling around, that you're running into everything, and that nothing is going the way that it should be going, that should tell you that things aren't right. And when you get to that point, there's a better way. And that's what the Lord wants to show you here this morning. He wants to show you that there's a better way for you. That He is a shepherd. He's a shepherd for you. And He wants to lead, guide, and direct you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to walk you through those minefields. He wants to be there for you, and He wants you to submit yourself to Him. Let's go do this now. Abigail, we're going to see if we can get you back to the platform, and we're going to get there, in 15 seconds.
I'm leading? Or just me? Just me?
I'll tell you what. You want to follow Zach, or you want to follow me?
Thank you.
That's
Give me your hand.
Where you at?
Give me your hand.
No, never mind. Go ahead. Goodbye.
All right. Is it better to follow somebody that's blind or somebody that can see? Let's see. You ready? Now, we're going to get there in a hurry, so you're going to have to pay attention to me, okay?
Wow.
You're going to have to pay attention. Just walk with me. I'll keep you out of trouble. You walk like there's no tomorrow. You ready? Time started now. Here we go. Don't worry. I got you.
Oh, damn.
There's still going to be some bumps along the way, but we're still going to go this way. See how good she moves? She moves real good like that. Whoa. And so that's the shepherding that takes place. When you surrender your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows where you're going. He knows your yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And He knows how to navigate all the obstacles and all the troubles of your life. The Lord is my shepherd. It's coming to the realization that He's your shepherd this morning. That He's your shepherd. That He loves you and that He cares about you and He doesn't want to see you hurt. That He's going to be with you and He's going to take you along this path. And that you can trust Him. You might ding a time or two, but you can trust Him. Even the dings are teaching opportunities for Him. Isn't that right, Zach? Amen? Let's see if he's trusting. I think we can get there quicker than we did. What do you think?
Yeah.
Put your hand down. Other one. There you go.
Oh, right, that
here.
One.
Okay. We'll use a leg if you want. Let me go this way. You ready?
Wait, which right. way? Are you?
Okay. You just follow me.
Yes, sir.
You trust me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah. For real?
Yeah, yes, sir, I trust you.
Stay with me. Path of least resistance. See, what happened is, I'm not going to run you into nothing, I promise you.
All right.
Now you're going to get over behind me, you're going to get whacked.
Oh, okay.
See, now his race, his life, his things is different than hers. The beautiful thing is that God knows where He wants her to go, and He knows where He wants him to go, and sometimes it ain't the same path, sometimes it ain't the same way. And it still involves surrender. Surrender. You're good.
Okay.
It involves surrender on these guys' part, okay? If they don't surrender, it's not going to go well. And friend, it's the same way for you. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? If He's your shepherd, He can be trusted. And that is something that'll get you to the right place to bring something with you when you come to this house. He's my shepherd. He's got me here for a reason. He's got me in this room for a reason here this morning. And am I willing to submit? Am I willing to be about His business this day? Bring some things with you. Bring some things with you when you come. And let Him do what He does best. And that is to shepherd you. And to take care of you. To lead you and guide you through the minefields of this life. He can be trusted. You can get rid of those. You can get rid of those. Good job. Good job, guy. Good job. Thank you. Appreciate you. When you can see, you can leave. So bring with you the right spirit. Bring with you the right submission. When you come, submit to the right authority, and things will go much better for us with that. I would say to you as well, as I close up here, that you ought to bring the right sacrifice. Bring the right sacrifice when you come. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read 3 or 4 verses here for you, and we'll close everything down. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 10, and it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Listen closely, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Ladies and gentlemen, what this is talking about is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. and that He is the perfect sacrifice, and that there is no other sacrifice that is necessary. We come to this room from a position of victory, having surrendered a life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come from a position of victory, not from a position of work or servitude in order to get the position that we've already gained. There's been a sacrifice. That sacrifice is effective. That sacrifice is all that is needed. It's all that you'll ever need. It just simply requires you to submit to that sacrifice. Submit to that one. Bring that right sacrifice. Don't come in here thinking that you're going to work up your salvation. Don't come in here thinking that you're going to gain God's favor any more than you already have. You've got to bring the right sacrifice, and that is you crucified. You crucified, mortified, ready to do business, understanding that the sacrifice has been made and that you've been set free. This house needs to become a place of praise unto Him. We're given an invitation to come into His presence, and we ought not to squander the invitation that we've been given. We're told to enter His gates, and we're to enter those gates with praise. That tells me that we've been allowed access into that, and so we need to take that access. Be thankful. Bless His name. Bring that right sacrifice. Bring the sacrifice of praise that He wants us to bring here this morning. Are you bringing the right things to church today? Are you bringing the right things to church? If you're not, let's bring it next week. Let's bring it next week and be ready for what the Lord would have for us when we show up on the next appointed time. Maybe you're as filled with praises as you can be today. Well, I say to you, come back ready next week. Come back prepared next week to do business with the Lord one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, who's your shepherd? Is He your shepherd? Is He yours? The Lord is my shepherd. Is He your personal Savior? Is He your personal shepherd? If He's not, I would encourage you today to surrender that life to Him, because there ain't no better king. There ain't no better king than my Jesus. My king is the best king there are. There is none beside Him. There is none else beside Him.